Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, here we go, it's the Copyright Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast and another opposition overview to preview what is coming up on Sunday, the biggest game of the season so far for us and United, probably. I'm Mick Moran and I'm joined by a big United fan who does some work for All for United. It's Jamie Mackay. Welcome, Jamie, mate. How are you doing?
How are you doing, buddy? Thank you very much for having me on the platform. Nice to meet you as well.
Nice to meet you too, mate. Nice one for jumping on. Appreciate it. But yeah, let's just jump in. Obviously, we won't dive into the game too much too early, but we've got to touch on you guys. Unfortunately for us, being top of the league, how are you feeling at the moment with that after beating Burnley the other day?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a good feeling. First time since 2013, which is crazy considering the size of the club. But obviously, you'll be aware we've had our troubles in the past couple of years, and we seem to sort of be gathering some momentum now, so it's nice to sort of see us at the top of the tree. I think years have probably had a wee bit of stick from our fan base on social media about it, but I generally just think we're enjoying it while it lasts, probably, mate, if I'm honest. But I'll touch on that a little bit more in the show when we go delve into the game and what I think about sort of Sunday's game. But yeah, all good. It's nice. It's nice to be at the top. Talking about us for a change, and I think our fan base are just enjoying the fact that people hate seeing us doing well and we're actually doing all right at the moment. So 17 games gone, top of the league, and all things are good, but it can change in a heartbeat when you're playing top teams like yourselves and Tottenham's and Man City's. So we've got some really hard games coming up, but as I say, I'm sure we'll dive into the sort of details of Sunday and the rest of the season and stuff like that, so I won't say too much on it, but it's a nice feeling. Yous have known that feeling for far too long recently, so only recently
it's that we've started to get that feeling. But yeah, before we dive into it properly, I just wanted to get your best memory or worst memory of this fixture over the years.
God, I've got so many. My one of my favourite memories is Jerzy Dudek, howled at Anfield for Diego Forlán to bag. So yeah, that was quite a good feeling for us. But my favourite one recently is probably Juan Mata's performance against you at Anfield. That was probably the one that sticks out to me, and United fans, obviously, you know, call it one field now. So he had a blinder that day, and we played well. But the worst feeling in the world was I was with my dad in Blackpool on a weekend, and it was when Torres absolutely terrorised Nemanja Vidic, and he ended up getting sent off. So I've got bad memories about Fernando Torres in the not so distant past. I know he's not playing no more, but fantastic player, and goodness me, he used to scare the hell out of me, him and Gerrard. So he's up there. That game gives me nightmares. Yeah,
I've got a few on it. I'll reel through mine. So I've obviously got last minute Salah goal last January in a 2-0 win. I've got Shaq coming on and scoring two in a 3-1 win when Mourinho got sacked the game after. I love that one. Danny Murphy getting three winners in 1-0 wins back in the early noughties. And then I think that for me the favourite's got to be, which is probably everyone's, is the 4-1 win at Old Trafford. That was just what dreams are made of, going away to Old Trafford and doing the business.
Yeah, it's the level of player that they had in the teams like over the last 10-15 years has been like phenomenal. Like you think of the games where Rooney, Ronaldo and Tevez were up front for us, and you had Gerrard, Torres, Sterling when he was there, Sturridge to a certain extent when he was firing on all cylinders, Suarez. There's just been that many good games. We could talk about them all night on the show, but Stevie and Torres stand out. And obviously a good memory for us as well was when Gary Neville ran down Old Trafford right in front of you boys. But I think it was a bit naughty, but it's just a passionate fan that loves his club. And funnily enough, when I when them sort of that time frame of games were going on, I used to absolutely hate Jamie Carragher. And I disliked him, so to speak, and I actually love him now on Sky. So it's weird. He used to be such a rival player for me that I'd never say a good word about, and now I'll actually love listening to him. Him and Gary Neville, like, for some people, for an avid Manc and an avid Liverpool fan, like, they're absolutely quality. They're box office television, aren't they, sometimes? So every silver lining, as they say.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Carragher the same as mine, but Neville, really, because obviously we hate them both as players because they wore the heart on the sleeve and they've done everything to make their club win, whatever it took. And now that they've had to go into what they're doing now, they've had to take a bit of a back step and kind of be a bit more impartial. Obviously, that spills into commentary sometimes, especially with Carragher and Neville, with the little squeals they make now and again, which is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it's good television, ain't it? Especially when you're a fan and you kind of know, you obviously know the background of this fixture, and it's like, I appreciate that banter, you know, because you can't help but watch them two now and think they still absolutely despise the other club, but they're so impartial and so professional, but they've still got that little bit of banter. It's just like, sort of, if we were sitting having a pint in a pub, we'd both give it to each other, wouldn't we? But they just do it on the telly. So it's good reading, good listening. Sometimes it's good television.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I agree with all that. But yeah, let's dive straight in. Sunday, it's Friday night now. I'm having a little bevy, wishing for Sunday to be here. We're both 17 games in, 21 left to play. You've picked up 11 wins, 3 draws, 3 losses so far. We've got 9 wins, 6 draws, which is the problem for us at the moment.
Yeah,
and 2 losses. So Sundays, obviously, it's going to be huge, even if you were first and we were 10th, or doesn't matter what position we were in. It's just the fact that we're both up there and we need 3 points to get back up to the same point as you. That's what makes it a bit more fire to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously a massive game, but it's one of them fixtures where I know you just mentioned the draws and we're doing well away from home at the moment, but it's all well and good sort of being away from home and picking up points and winning ugly, so to speak, which I'm sure I'll touch on a little bit later on in the show. But it's Anfield, everything goes out the window. It doesn't mean nothing to me when away form, home form, who's in form. It's such a big game, and you can never predict the what's going to happen when the first ball's kicked. So I think it's probably one of them games in the league, very few for United, where you're going into a game and you're thinking, "Nah, we're in form here. I think we'll win today." It's you can't cling on to that, and it can't build confidence in you, because you know you're going into the Lions' den. I know the fans are not there, which I think potentially could help us on Sunday, but because it's a cauldron, Anfield, it's a fantastic stadium when you're in full voice, and that's pretty hard for me to say, but it's the same as Old Trafford when the Stretford Ender in full voice, it can really help the team, and it is a 12th man, and that cop's the same for you guys. So it's going to be an interesting watch, but for me, like, Some of the lads have been saying in the office this week, yous are in form, like yous are getting ugly. And I'm like, yeah, but it's Liverpool. It doesn't mean nothing. So yous have got too much quality for me to be that naive and think, yeah, we're the in-form team here. We're doing well. And I think to a certain extent, fitness was a massive problem for us at the start of the season. And I feel like we could potentially, I'm not saying we would have the league wrapped up, but if you take them games that we did lose at the start of the season due to pure lack of fitness and maybe a bit of tactical naivety at times and in personnel and in formation, we could be potentially a lot clearer in the table than we are. So it's a learning curve for Man United as well. And the thing is, I generally don't think the pressure's on us on Sunday. Everyone's not expecting us to win. Like, so I think it's the first time, apart from our fan base, I don't think there's a fan out there that thinks we're going to win on Sunday. Everyone I've spoken to about the game, and I can, obviously, with what's going on in the world, I don't get to see anybody a lot at the moment, but I can just go off of the guys in the office, and they're all neutral fans, they're all Sunderland fans, and they're all like, yous are going to get beat, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see sort of thing. But I think that when you speak to the general fan, they're a little bit on the fence with who they fancy and who they don't. But I feel this is probably the best chance because of your injuries that we've got of doing yous at Anfield. And if we can get a result, I've been saying to the lads on Ulster United, if we go to your ground and get a result, I feel like we are legitimate title contenders. Because, and some of the Man U fans, even if they're listening, they might give me a bit of stick by saying this, but I think we're in a false position at the moment. I don't think we're ready to be top of the league. We're a couple of players short. We've got gaps in our squad that need filled with quality players. Exactly the same situation as what was happening with you guys a couple of years ago. Yeah. Yous were the nearly men, but yous weren't quite there. And obviously you went out and signed well in the market, which recruitment's everything in football. And you went out and bought real quality players. Alisson, and they've just took yous to a whole new level of solidarity. And obviously the big man's not at the back at the weekend, which I think will help us. And we seem to be getting recruitment right now, so I feel we're at the point where we're not too far off. And I keep saying it, I feel like maybe you'll have a different opinion, and I'll come to you in a minute, because I'm quite interested to see what you think about us on a professional level, not on anything else. But I feel like we're a couple of quality signings away from being a real force again. If we can bring the right caliber of player in at the right level, I feel like we're going to be sticking about for a little while, whether people want to hear that or not, or they think I'm talking rubbish. They might do, and that's fine, because we've been very inconsistent in the past few years. But I do think we're here for the long run, and you're going to see Man United improve every single year. And I just hope we take your route, because in a non-disrespectful way, I mean this, I don't want to go like length of time yous haven't won a title, and that's like non-disrespectful at all. It's not having a dig. I just want to see my team winning trophies again, because that's what Man United do. And we've been starved a little bit of that in the past. So things seem to be going as well as they possibly can. There's a lot of our fan base that are not keen on the manager. There's half of it that are completely ollie in, and they think go with the process. And I feel like Klopp's credentials is on another level to Solskjaer's, but I feel like your fan base give him the time when things weren't so rosy, and look what's happening now.
Yeah, you've got to give everyone time. I think, like, obviously in today's football, time isn't given easily to anyone. But I think in terms of the game, like the form book goes out the window, and that's the old cliche, isn't it? There's whoever's top of the league or whatever, whoever's doing well, even if it's Liverpool, Everton, Liverpool Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, whatever, it usually, you can't really rely on the form, because it's two big teams going up against each other. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I think we are probably favourites. I've seen Carragher speaking about this, I think it might have been today or yesterday, saying like that we are favourites and we've got more to lose, because we're meant to be the ones up there challenging and retaining our title. Obviously, you talked about missing personnel. We're missing huge players like two, yeah. Van Dijk and Gomez, and Matip as well for a period of this season. Matip might be fifth for Sunday, which is great news. But yeah, we need to definitely get better. But I just want to move on to you a little bit more as well, because you touched on your away form, and like I looked the other day and I couldn't believe, like, 22 points out of a possible 24. That is title winning away form. What do you think is the key to that? Do you think that's a mixture of everything? Like, you're playing at your absolute maximum. Like, I think you just said that before. Like, you think your position's a bit false. Do you think it's a bit of everything? Like, you're playing at your maximum. You need some more signings. You're getting maybe a bit of luck that you need. Do you think it's a mixture of everything?
Yeah, I just feel like there's certain players, when they first come to the club, like, struggled with playing at Old Trafford in front of that crowd, and the expectation level on the same level as you boys. Like, you don't go from playing for Wolves or playing for Leicester in Jota and Maguire's instance to playing in front of that crowd every week, and it does affect certain players. Rise to, and I feel like, sorry, I've got a little bit of the hiccups if it's coming across. Do apologise. But I feel like there's not that much pressure on us to play away from home, and they can sort of express themselves a little bit more. So I feel like tactically, Ollie's starting to understand the way the team works, and he's took a year or so to suss certain teams out as well. And I think been a little bit naive with thinking because it worked once, it'll work again. And unfortunately, we beat Chelsea a couple of times last season, but when it really mattered in the FA Cup semi-final, they drubbed us because he went with the same tactics that had beaten them twice in the season, and Lampard had sussed him out. And we just got completely outplayed that day. And I feel like he's a little bit, he's getting a little bit more tactically savvy, and we can play on a counter-attack away from home, which seems to work with us with our pace up front. I think we've arguably got one of the most fluid attacks on a counter-attack in the league. I think we're probably the best counter-attacking team in the league. News are up there as well. Leicester are a great attacking counter-attacking team as well. So I feel like it's a little bit of everything. And what I mean by I don't think we're ready, I think it's a false position purely for the fact of we don't have the world back to partner Maguire. We've got an injury-ravaged Eric Bailly that we're pinning our hopes on at the moment not to get injured, and history tells us that he's going to get injured at some point. I'm not 100% convinced by Lindelof. I rate his footballing ability. Defensively, he's a bit suspect against certain teams. He's a perfect player to play in there when you've got the ball a bit more. But I do like Eric Bailly, and if he stays fit, we're going to have a real chance, because I've seen some good stats on him the other day that we've won a lot of percentages. I don't have it off the top of my head, but when he's in the team, we don't usually lose. And that's a good habit to have in a centre-back pair. And I feel like Maguire's not going anywhere. We paid too much money for him. He's took a while to settle in, but Maguire gets a hard time because I think people think that he's the standard of Van Dijk, because what we paid for him, he's nowhere near as good as Van Dijk. And people need to be realistic and look at a player's footballing ability. It's not how much he cost. And you have got players very similar to us. I know you mentioned Gomez there. I don't actually rate Gomez. Like, I haven't seen him enough on your level, but from what I have seen of him, I don't think he's all that. But like, there's definitely a quality young player there. But I feel like you do need that quality centre-back pairing, and I don't think United have that yet. I still think Liverpool could benefit from maybe bringing in a more solid centre-back than Gomez and Matip. And I think it will be something that yous will address long-term, and I feel like we've got to do that as well. Maguire's not going anywhere. He's the captain of the club. Ollie plays in practically every minute that he can play, so we need someone to go with him. We don't have a left-footed sided centre back, so that's something we're trying to. We're being linked with every left-footed centre back in the world at the moment, but you've got to bring the right player in, and I feel like to bring a certain type of character into the dressing room as well. He's got rid of the viruses, so to speak, as our fan base like to call them, the Lukaku's, the Sanchez. Maybe Pogba will be in the same bracket. I would love Pogba to stay because I don't want a world-class player to leave our club. But that's another conversation. But with regards to the form, I feel like we're winning ugly. And that's a really good problem to have. When you can win games and you're not playing good football, that's a sign of a title-winning team. I'm not brave enough to say that we're going to win the title just yet, but Sunday's a big...
Too early.
We talked off camera. Yeah, of course, like, it'll give me the confidence that we can go and beat the best in the league, because I think that's what yous are at the moment. I know yous are a bit injury ravaged, but it's more of a false dawn for us. Like, I try not to look at football for what it is. I've got a heart, but I've also got a head, and I coach football myself, and sometimes I've got to be realistic and like dissect the game, and at the moment yous are a better club than us. Yous are the favourites on Sunday, whether our fan base want it or not, and it's for yous to lose, and that's why I feel like we're in for a very difficult game, because I don't think you're going to take many, like, you're going to go gung-ho at us, and 9 times out of 10 if Liverpool go gung-ho at a team, they get a result, and they get it sensationally. I mean, look at some of the results you've had against the big teams in the past couple of seasons. Like, you're the best team in the country. Like, let's not beat around the bush. It's not easy for me to say, but you are.
I'll miss a few questions out, and let's just jump straight into tactics then, because you're saying, like, if we go gung-ho, which I think we will, how do you think Solskjaer is going to set up then? Because I was looking at your last game against Burnley. You started Pogba and Matic, Fernandes just ahead of them. Do you think he'll go with that again, or do you think he'll throw Fred or McTominay in there instead of Pogba?
I think Fred has to play against you. Fred is a very funny player for an away, for a fellow fan of another team, but for us he's so important. And maybe yous have got one in your team, maybe like a Wijnaldum. Like, people probably don't understand what he does, but you'll know what he does. I don't watch him enough. Well, I'm watching Liverpool when you drop points on Match of the Day.
I've watched Fred quite a bit recently. When I've watched, like, obviously we're locked down now, so especially I watch more 90 minutes than I ever have. And I've been impressed with Fred, I'll be honest. Like, I always thought he was a bit lightweight, and I think he's addressed that this season. He looks a lot better. Mm. He's a good passer of the ball. He knows when to pass it. He knows when to not mess around with it. So, yeah, I like him, and I also like McTominay as well. So I think, who do you think he'll drop then? Pogba, Matic, or obviously it's not going to be Fernandes, is it? So is it Pogba or Matic he'll drop, or will he go 4-5-1, do you think?
I think it's safe to say that Fernandes will be starting.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure we'll touch on that. Maybe we've got something lined up at the end of the show that might be quite good for the viewers. So we'll get onto that a bit later. But I generally think, off the top of my head, knowing the way Ollie goes with certain things, I think he will go with Fred and McTominay sitting, because you know what you're going to get from Liverpool. They're going to play out wide. They're gonna get their skillful players on the ball. Your Salahs and your Manes. And for me, Manes, I think, and I'll say this categorically now, and take the flack that comes with it, because I generally believe what I'm saying is true. I think Manes the best player in the league when he's on this game. He's unplayable, and I just wish we would have picked him up from Southampton, but unfortunately we didn't. I just think he's absolutely fantastic. He's went to another level at Liverpool. So I feel like we're going to need a little bit of, I'm going to see a lot of Luke Shaw and a lot of Aaron Wan-Bissaka tucking in to help the backs. And I feel like McTominay and Fred have got the legs to offer that cover in the centre of the park, but also filling out into the wider positions. I feel like Man United, in my personal opinion, and as I say, people might be listening that will disagree with me. This is a Liverpool channel, so if they didn't, I'd be surprised. But I think we've got a better midfield than yous individually. I think yous have got some very good footballers for the way yous play your game, that gegenpress. And I think there's a lot of players in that Liverpool team that are underrated by away fans. Like your Hendersons, for example, he gets a lot of stick, but he's a fantastic player, do you know what I mean? But he's never going to get the credit because he doesn't ever really look great to someone that doesn't watch Liverpool every week. But it's the same with McTominay, Mata. They're the same sort of players as us. No one would think, oh, yeah, he's a good player, Mata. He's a fantastic player. He's great on the ball. He breaks play up. But from an opposition fan, which is him probably once or twice a month, they won't think that. But obviously, you can dissect your team and I can dissect mine and you'll know. Nah, do you know what? Like, Henderson's a class player, man. He does this well, he does this well, he does this well. And I would be like, oh, yeah, sound. Like, you watch them. So
it's the system. So I know what you're saying in terms of, like, if you stack them up against each other, and you're saying who's a better footballer in terms of flair and whatever else, then yeah, maybe. Yeah. But if you swapped our midfield with your midfield in a Klopp system, it just wouldn't work. Like what our attack and prowess is from fullbacks. It always has, and it seems like it always will be. And that's what we've been kind of found out the last five, six games or so. Obviously, since we lost Van Dijk and Gomez, they're our backup, and we usually have Henderson sitting there as well to allow Trent and Robbo to run on. So it's Wijnaldum is like, I want him to stay. He's terrific. And like you said, he's one of those players that you don't really appreciate fully unless you watch him all the time and the stuff that he does. He's so good on the ball. But yeah, I was going to ask you who you're most worried about from our side, but I think you've answered it with Sadio Mane, haven't you?
I'm worried about your whole team, mate, to be honest with you. I think you've just got so much quality in every position. Like, I know the centre-back issue is something I'm pretty excited about, because I feel like we can get at his at centre back, particularly if we play Cavani. Mm-hmm. I think he's got the physical game to really upset your centre backs, and he seems to be getting on the nerves of certain centre backs from clubs at the moment. So he's a world class player. He's played at the top level, and I think people think because of his age he's finished. He's not. Like, I've seen so much from him without goals that I'm impressed with. I absolutely love him. I think he's a fantastic option. I don't know whether Marshall is going to be fit. I haven't really had a little look. I've been at work all day and I've sort of been preparing for this, so I haven't had a look about anything with regards to that. But it's one of them. I feel like your fullbacks are a relatively dangerous weapon for use on Sunday. I think we're going to have to be really switched on defensively. We're going to have to be very disciplined and very patient on Saturday, because it's not going to be a snatch and grab. Well, it might be a snatch and grab, but I mean, we're going to have to be patient and let Hughes have a lot of the ball. And I feel like that could potentially work for us. I think we'll play on the counter-attack. But like, I really like Robertson, I think he's a bit of a pain in the arse sometimes with his attitude towards certain things, but the footballing ability, I think he's a great player. Yeah. And Trent Alexander-Arnold's the best attacking fullback probably in the world, but defensively, I think he's awful. So I feel like we can potentially get at him. I haven't seen enough of him to really study him and say that he's awful, but from what I have seen against the better team, well, you'll have a completely different recollection of that, but he's the complete opposite to our right back. Our right back's fantastic defensively, probably the best defensive right back in the league when someone's running at him. But attacking wise, he doesn't offer us a lot. Wan-Bissaka, he turns back a lot. You probably noticed that watching Man United. You'll see it on Sunday as well.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, in terms of our attacking, that's why it's so good for us, because he is a great attacker, and usually. Yeah. We've got Van Dijk and Gomez or Matip and then Henderson as well filling in, and he can just go forward and do what he does best, and he gets cover for it. But as now, I'm hoping Matip will be fifth alongside Fabinho. I think with those two can handle Cavani, in my opinion. If Matip's not there on Sunday and it's Phillips or Williams, then I will be worried. If I see that lineup, the team sheet, and there's no Matip in there, I'll be very worried about, especially counter-attacking, because Matip's not fast, but he is position-wise, and he's 6'5". He's got a big frame. He can snuff danger out. So it's going to be an interest. What do you think about Salah? Like, because I know Salah's not been on top form lately, and the last couple of games I've watched up against Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw tends to do quite well against him, doesn't he? Do you think that's going to be a key battle over there on your left back area?
I think it'll be very interesting to see what the team news is, and by the left back position, you'll know how United they're going to attack the game. Plan for the game. Because if Luke Shaw starts, we're probably going to play on a counter attack. If Alex Teller starts, we want to be the front foot team. And I think that would be very naive of Ollie to go there with that attitude. I just cannot see it. I generally do think Salah's been poor this season in comparison to the numbers he hit last season, but he's a world-class player. Like, he's a world-class player, and I generally think he's probably the one that we need to be the most wary of, because he's not born, and it's just it could take a game like a massive game like this to bring out the best in him. And Luke Shaw does do well usually against Salah. Salah's sort of switched positions against us in the past couple of games to try and get away from him, which I think is a lot of respect towards Luke Shaw's defensive ability. That, like, United fans are a little bit sort of ooming and ahhing with Luke Shaw, but defensively he's very good, and his delivery is fantastic when he can get into the positions to cross. But I feel like you won't be seeing Luke Shaw go past the halfway line a lot on Sunday. I think we will be very rigid defensively. And depending on what he does with the centre of the park, if he plays that free, if from what I'm expecting, I think Pogba will be on the left. And I think he'll have a job to come inside and mix up play, also defensive work, and help Shaw out with Salah, and occupy whoever's on that side of the field in your three, which I'm not too sure who that will be, because I don't know who's fit and who isn't at Liverpool. But I feel like Salah's, like, he's got the quality to hurt any team in the Premier League, any team in the Champions League. I think it's very naive of us to look at that and think he struggled a little bit, so we shouldn't be that worried about him. He's not in form. Like I said earlier, form don't mean nothing in this game. Wow. And all it takes is one chance and he'll bury it. So Thiago and Mane are the ones for me. If we stop them playing, we win on Sunday. But it's very hard to stop that level of player, to hinder their game and make them worry about us more. Whereas, as I say, I ain't naive enough to sit here and think we're going to be the team that what we're going to do on Sunday. That ain't going to be the way. It's at Anfield. It's for yous to lose. We've got everything to gain and yous have got everything to lose with regards to the 3 points. That's why if you offered me it now, I'd take a draw, you know, because I think it's beneficial towards us. Yous need to win more than us. And I feel like that's the big worry. I kind of wish yous were top, because then nobody would be expecting any other result. Yeah, whereas sure. I feel like yous are just going to come out and give it both barrels. And I feel like if we can weather the storm for the first 20, 30 minutes, maybe first half, then and try and implement our game. But the lineup will tell me everything I need to know about Man United on Sunday. How are they going to, like, Ollie might go there and play for a draw. Like, that's just the reality. We might go and try and stink the place out. And I hope we don't, because I would love to beat yous. But if it's a positive result, if we don't lose that game, then positive for us, because yous are the favourites. And like I said a minute ago, it's for yous to lose. Yous have got to get back to the top of the table. There's no pressure on us. Like, there literally isn't. And I keep saying it and people are like, nah, there is. Of course there is. You're top of the league. But no one's expecting us to win on Sunday. Like, only our fan base.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Do you think that? There's more pressure on us. There's definitely more pressure on us, but there still is some pressure on Man United, because it's still Man United, and you've still got, I know you've got some injury worries, but you've still got pretty much a decent full-strength team, pretty much, and we haven't. So it's kind of, if we are the full-strength team, yeah, I'd be saying pressure is 100% on us. If we lose, then it's all kudos to use. But I think that's why it's on such a knife edge, and that's what's making it more interesting for me. And I think in terms of the starting 11, Luke Shaw's 100% going to start. 100%. I will fall to the floor in shock if Teller starts left back. I'll be so surprised. Yeah. But we'll finish up then, Jamie, with what we said we're going to do. We'll try and do a joint Liverpool Man United 11. So we're just going to do available players. Are we just ones that are available now?
Yeah, we'll just we can just do it from generally both squads if you want, and go from that. I've been thinking about this all day, mate, and it's quite a difficult one, to be honest, because I'm sure we'll probably disagree with certain things, but that'll make a good viewing. But I see Alex in the comment. He's a really good friend of my father and big massive Liverpool fan, really top guy. He lives in Norway now, so I know C is very vocal on here, so I just wanted to give him a mention, because he's a top bloke. So there you go, Alex, hope you're good, mate.
There you go. Got hardly no injury. That's exactly what I said. Like, that's why it's more of a knife edge. But starting 11, best 11s I should say, from a joint 11 from both team. I saw Carragher's today, so I'll read that one out to you, which was Alisson in goal, Trent, Fabinho, Maguire, Robertson, Henderson, Thiago, Fernandes, Salah, Rashford, Mane. I was thinking if all only available players I'm going to pick, because obviously if Van Dijk and Gomez are fit for me, they go straight in. Easy. There's no questions about it for me.
Yeah.
Or Matip. I would only change maybe, I'd put maybe Bailly in for Maguire. But apart from that, I think I keep that pretty much the same as that. I know yours is going to be hugely different to that. But yeah, give us yours, yeah, James.
If we're just going off of players that can sort of play on Sunday. See, I don't... I would go for De Gea, but that's... I've got my reasons behind that. I think Alisson is a fantastic goalkeeper, but De Gea's just done it consistently in the league for years, and he's arguably, kept us in European places for the past couple of seasons. But I do get where you're coming from. I think he's a fantastic goalkeeper. He's definitely in the top four best goalkeepers in the world. I'd probably put him in there. I don't think De Gea's in that bracket, but just purely for his consistency, I would go De Gea. But we'll go with Alisson just because it should show.
I don't think De Gea's been that good though lately.
Not this season, he hasn't. But I'm talking about sort of longevity wise in the Premier League. Yeah. But if we're basing it off of this season, I don't know actually, because I don't think yous have been great this season. You know, so
I think De Gea's been better this season than he has previous, because he kind of got himself to a level where he was 100% the best keeper in the world. He a couple of years back, he was 100% there, and I don't know what reason, he fell off a cliff, and he was making uncharacteristic mistakes. Even the one this season against, I know you won the game against Southampton, but that free kick from Ward-Prowse, it was a hell of a hit, but you'd expect De Gea to save just the likes of that, don't you? So that's the thing for me, it's just little things like that.
I think I'll probably give you that. I think they've both been playing in defences that are struggling, didn't they, to a certain extent. We ain't been great defensively all season, but De Gea's played some great goalkeeping, but he is, them mistakes are starting to slip in, and I feel to be the top team again, United will probably have to look at that in a little bit more detail. I think a lot of fans are hoping that Henderson's going to be good enough to put the gloves on and be our number one in a couple of years. I don't quite think he's ready yet from what I've seen of him. But Alisson's a fantastic goalkeeper. I was pretty jealous when you signed him, because I think he was fantastic at Roma. And I don't see many goalkeepers out there better than Alisson in the world. I think All Black's the best goalkeeper in the world, if you were to ask me who's the best. And maybe Ten Stegen as well is a fantastic goalkeeper. Very, very different, but I think Alisson and Ederson are probably the best goalkeepers in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think I was thinking earlier about Henderson. I was thinking, obviously, your Henderson, not our one, I was thinking he might come into the United team at some point, but obviously, you want to persist with De Gea, because he is, when he's on top form, he is one of the best in the world. So yeah, I understand that,
We'll go with Alisson, seeing as I don't want to disagree with you on your platform.
why don't we just give us your one? Give us your best 11 selected by you, and then you obviously already know, man. I've just told you so.
Okay, well I'll try and explain briefly why I'm going for these. We'll go in a 4-3-3, will we? So that's what both clubs usually play, although ours is a little bit different to yours with the two holding instead of one. I would go with De Gea in goals. I'm going to be consistent. On the right, I'll get to that score prediction at the end.
Yeah, we'll do that last.
Kind of dreading that bit, but I would go with De Gea in goals. I would go with right back's a funny one, because you're going to say to me it's got to be Trent, but defensively I don't think he's very good at all. I think he's phenomenal going forward, and it completely matters what game plan you go in. But I know we ain't going to go into all of that, but so I'll go with Trent, although I do think Wan-Bissaka is a much better defender than him, as in a physical defender, not going forward, defending and doing what a defender needs to do first. Yeah. But I do really like Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's a fantastic player, and his delivery is ridiculous. But I think he's the closest delivery to David Beckham that you're getting from that right wing. And England have got some players at that right back position, so we shouldn't be struggling with that. But I'd go with Arnold. We're going to go off of players who's available, aren't we?
Yeah, so literally just fly through it. Just give us. You don't have to give us reasons. Just pick whatever you want. Obviously, you're gonna have more Man United players. That's fine because you're.
No, not necessarily. No, I haven't seen enough of Fabinho at centre back to warrant putting him in. So I would go for Bailey and Maguire, and that's just me being real. I think Fabinho is a phenomenal player, but I see him as a defensive midfielder. I haven't seen him play at centre-back maybe a hand once or twice. That's it. So I know he played it at Monaco, but I haven't seen enough of him, to be honest. So yeah. I know you picked him, and I'll take your word for it. They're your team. But on the left, you got to go Robertson. But as I say, I think Shaw's very underrated as well. So it would have been one of them. But we'll go with Robinson because I generally just think he's a better player. And that's me just being honest. Defensive midfield, I'd go McTominay. I'm joking, I'd go Thiago. Just think he's an absolutely phenomenal football player. I'm pretty jealous he's got him, to be fair, because I thought he might have come to us. And then I would go with a midfield too. You might disagree with this as well, but it's got, like, forgetting formations and all of that sort of stuff and team balance. It's Pogba and Bruno Fernandes. I don't think you've got a better midfielder than them two. So I would go with them two.
That is so Thiago with Pogba and Bruno Fernandes just ahead of them. That is, like, if you wanted to score a goal, that would be the way you did it.
You look at that on paper and you think, but fantastic, all fantastic players, abilities unbelievable. And I would go with Salah on the right, because we don't. No, actually, I'm gonna change this up a little bit, I think, because it's too easy to pick Salah. I would go with. Does Mane play on the right or is he left?
Plays on the left, Mane, but he can play on the right. He can do it right. Easily.
Yeah, we'll just have a bit of fun with it, will we? There's no realism in this. It's a bit of fun, isn't it? I'll keep Mane on the left. I'll go with Rashford on the right. And up front, I would go with Cavani. I appreciate the footballing ability of Bobby, but he's not a striker for me. I know he plays a false nine role for you, but I have to go with Cavani up front, unfortunately. So I'd go with Cavani, but it matters what style of play. You can talk all day about would Martial be in there if you're trying to play a high press with. But I feel like Marshall's the closest option we've got to a Bobby Firmino to use. He can hold the ball up. He can drop a bit deeper and pick it up and feed the wide positions. But I definitely wouldn't be picking Origi, Alex. Sorry, mate. But
definitely not. Nah, I wouldn't even pick Origi in a reserve lineup. Never mind.
I'd pick Agallo ahead of Origi, I think, and Agallo's not even there anymore. So,
I'd have Klopp ahead of Origi, if I'm being honest.
It'd be a great target man, Jürgen.
Right,
I'll get Ollie up front.
Right, mate. We'll leave it there because that's been 40 odd minutes. So nice one again, Jamie, for coming on from All for United. Appreciated it. Nice little insight there into what's to come on Sunday. So I can't absolutely wait for it. But yeah, thanks again, mate, for jumping on. If you like the video, please drop us a like and leave us a comment on your thoughts on what the match might go, what score predictions, whatever else. Actually, we haven't done score predictions. Let's do that. I just forgot. Score predictions before we go.
I'm going to go with a draw, mate. 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
Come on,
give me it. I know you're going for a win.
No, I've been thinking a draw as well, but I'm praying this is the game where Mo Salah gets back into form. Like, I know he's still top goal scorer, but for his high levels, he hasn't been quite there the last couple of games. So I'm hoping for. I'll take a 1-0 win. Honestly, I'll take a 1-0 90th minute own goal. I'll take any form. As long as you don't lose, that's the main thing. But I do think we usually get up to get ourselves back up to a level enough in these bigger games where we turn the style on, and I'm hoping that'll be the case on Sunday, especially at home. So yeah, nice one, Jamie, for jumping on. We'll leave it there, and give us a like, drop us a comment, and subscribe if you liked the video. And I'll be back again on Sunday about 3:30 with the team news reaction with some of the other boys, and we'll see you in a bit. Podcast Network.